You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, Advent is a season of waiting and preparation and expectation for the coming of Christmas. In fact, this word Advent, it comes from the Latin word for coming. And what we do during this season on the church calendar is we look back and we celebrate the first coming of our Savior who was born in Bethlehem. We sang about that a moment ago. But we also look forward as we look at this broken world that we find ourselves living in. We long and we look forward to his return, to his second coming, because Jesus promised to come again. And then there's another thing we do in this season of Advent. We open our hearts to Jesus coming to us afresh during this time. I say this every year, but this is a season of worship. This is a season of worship. And I want us to just be determined and intentional in our hearts in this first day of Advent to set apart these next few weeks as a season of worship, as a time to get closer to Jesus. This is not a season of stress. This is not a season of materialism, a season to max out your credit cards. This is not a season of tension because of all of the holiday activities and the hosting and the cooking. No. This is a season of worship. Let every heart prepare him room. We're after getting closer to Jesus. By the time we culminate with Christmas time, we want to say, God, we love you better and we know you more. We got closer to you because we were intentional about making this a season of worship. Now, speaking of worship, worship is about love, isn't it? A few weeks ago, we taught a message on worship and we said that worship is motivated by love, not obligation. Worship is about love. And you can't really love someone until you get to know someone. Isn't that true? To really love someone, you have to build a relationship with someone. And whenever you build a relationship with someone, one of the first most important things that happens is we find out someone's name. Think about it, right? Every relationship that you've ever been a part of, that you've ever experienced, it began with an introduction. Maybe a friend introduced you, a coworker introduced you, maybe you were classmates with someone, maybe you met someone online, but at some point in time, you were introduced to someone and you got to know their name. You can't even be an acquaintance with someone, much less a friend, if you don't know someone's name, can you? Because a name is important. It says something about who you are. You know, back when I was in college, before I started dating my wife my senior year of college and somehow convinced her to marry me, can I get an amen, somebody? How many of you know that's the best thing that ever happened to me? I got a college degree, but I got something much better than that. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amy got her MRS degree on top of her bachelor's degree when we graduated college. But before we started dating, one of my favorite things to do along with my other friends and the other guys is at the beginning of the year, we always like to inspect the fresh crop of incoming freshmen and transfers, girls who came on campus, right? This was something we did. We look forward to every year. And when you spotted a pretty girl, the first thing you want to do was find out her name. Girl, I have got to know your name. Can I walk you to class? Can I help you find your class? Can I carry your books? What can I do? Because I want to get to know your name. And then the next thing you wanted to do after that was get her number, okay? Now, where are all the guys who grew up in my generation in the 90s, 80s, or before when we actually had to work up the courage to get on the phone and call a girl? Unlike these sissies today who just hide behind social media, okay? We had to actually work up the courage to get on the phone and try to figure out something to say to a girl. And all the women in here know it's a miracle that we wound up with any one of you, because all the women know men have nothing creative or intelligent to say on the phone. Okay? This is just the way it works. I want to know your name. Can I get your number? Can we spend some time together? Now, lest I digress here, okay? Speaking of names and relationships, the Bible actually gives us several names for Jesus that help us get to know him better, that help us build a relationship with our Savior. They describe his presence in our life. They highlight his ministry and his work and what his coming to this earth was all about. In fact, one of those names that we talk about this time of year is Emmanuel, that Jesus is God with us, right? That God comes to us in a very special way, and we celebrate that as Christians, especially during this Christmas season. Well, for the next few weeks, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that gives us some additional names. It's a passage of Scripture that most of you recognize. We hear it on Christmas cards this time of year, and it's sang in songs, and it's one of those Scriptures that's often read during the Advent season. But this is a Scripture that has the capacity and the power to help us know Jesus better and to love him more. Because to love someone, you have to build a relationship with them. And when you know their name, when you know what they're really about, when you get that person's heart and their character, you get closer to them. And that's our heart. And so we're going to dive into this. Let's look at this scripture, this prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I think you will recognize these words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you recognize those words? Now, Isaiah was writing this prophecy about 700 years before the birth of Christ. He prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the anointed one. And he goes on to say that this is going to be no ordinary king like Israel has ever had before. This leader is going to be like unlike any other leader that we've ever had before. This is going to be the Messiah, the one who will save his people. And in this passage, he gives four descriptive names of Jesus Christ. He's our Wonderful Counselor, our Mighty God, our Everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. So each week in this new series that we're kicking off today for Advent called Above All Names, we're going to look at each of these different names. We're going to take a different name each week, and we're going to dive into it, and it's going to help us better understand who our Savior is. And as we get to know him better, we're going to grow deeper in our relationship. We're going to get closer to him, to his heart, to his purpose for our lives. And so today, we're going to look at Jesus, our Wonderful Counselor. Everybody say, Wonderful Counselor. All right. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think of when you think of the term counselor? What comes to mind? When I think about a counselor, I think about someone who gives guidance, someone who gives advice, someone who helps other people. I think about maybe a guidance counselor at school that helps, you know, kids get into college or kind of determine their path, what classes they should take. I think about maybe a professional counselor, somebody who does therapy, marriage or family, that kind of thing that helps people through their problems, work through their emotions, work through their issues. Someone who gives good advice. Sometimes you have a good friend who's just a good counselor. They're a good listener. There's someone who always has just good godly wisdom. Those are the things we think of, right? When we think about a counselor. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a bad counselor? You ever had someone give you bad advice that led to a bad decision? I think we've all been there before. I think it was the summer after my senior year of high school. I had this friend named Robbie Gossie. Robbie was kind of a crazy guy, and he gave me some advice. He suggested that we jump off of an overpass from the interstate into a river below in the town that I lived in. Now, this bridge was probably, I don't know, a good 30 feet, something like that. It was a pretty good fall, and I thought that sounded like a lot of fun. And we did it, and we jumped in, and it was all good. But looking back, we could have got arrested. One of us could have broke our neck. We could have fallen in the river below, and a boat could have come along and, you know, just like rode right over us. But I was 17, 18, and I wasn't using my brain so well, and I didn't take very good advice that day. And I think we've all been there before. And in fact, you know, if my parents were to say something like, if your friends are going to jump off a bridge, are you going to as well? And I would have had to say, well, yes, actually I would. Wasn't good advice. Didn't lead to a very smart decision. So here's the thing, guys. Our lives are full of decisions and emotions and choices and problems and difficult things that we need to work through. And we need to know what's the right thing to do on a regular basis, don't we? Like, we find ourselves making decisions that impact our lives. And I think seeking out, wisdom and knowing, you know, the right thing to do at the right time. And here's the challenge. We live in an information age, don't we? I mean, it's amazing. We can Google anything, don't we? Don't you just Google? Like, we just find ourselves on Google all the time. Like, we can get so much information, and there are so many ideas out there, and there are so many opinions out there, and everybody thinks they're an expert. Anybody can write a book these days. Anybody can publish a podcast to iTunes. Like, there are so many voices in our world. Everybody claims to have the right way, the right path, the right advice. But how many of you know that good advice is hard to come by? Just because there's a lot of voices out there, there are a lot of people making noise. They don't necessarily have the right or the best advice. You and me, we don't have time for bad advice. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? Somebody give you bad advice that causes you to make a bad decision. No, we need good advice. We need wisdom. We need some solid counsel in our lives that will lead to really good sound choices. Now, think about this for a moment today. What does this really mean if Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor? Is it possible that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could provide the kind of advice and counsel and wisdom that we need to guide us through life? And I think most of us in this room, most of us are followers of Christ. Some of you may be here kind of exploring faith, but I think most of us would say, well, yeah, I can believe that. But stop and think about this for just a moment. It's one thing for us to believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he went to the cross and died for our sins and resurrected and made a way for us to know, you know, eternal life. And I think that's probably something that most of us in this room believe. But it's another thing to believe that Jesus can actually provide counsel and guide your life on a daily basis. Those are two different things. It's one thing to believe that he's your Savior. It's another thing to truly believe that we can hear the voice of God through his Son, that his words can come alive to us and can actually guide our daily lives. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. Let's go back to our text. Some scholars think that these two words, wonderful counselor, should actually be separated by punctuation and be distinct from each other, as if wonderful should actually be a separate item of its own in the list. And you might say, well, why is that? Well, first of all, it's because we read the Bible in English, but the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And these two words are really interesting because this word wonderful comes from the word pele, which means miracle, something unusual, a wonder. It's actually a noun, not an adjective. We read that just like an adjective describing counselor, right? Wonderful. What kind of counselor is he? He's a wonderful counselor. We read it that way in the English, just like we read everlasting Father, mighty God, as if as an adjective describing this noun. But actually, here's the deal. This is a noun. This is in that Jesus is a wonder. He is a wonder. And of course, counselor comes from this word, yoves, which means counselor or advisor. Here's what Isaiah is saying about Jesus. Isaiah is saying that this counselor is a wonder because his counsel goes beyond that of the merely human. He's unlike any other counselor that you've ever come into contact to, that you've ever received advice or wisdom or counsel from. He's no ordinary counselor. He is, in fact, a miraculous, unusual, incomprehensibly wonder-inspiring counselor. That's who he is. That's who he is. In fact, the Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. He said, oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge, how impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. There's another scripture that says his ways are above our ways, his thoughts above our thoughts. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul's describing just the cosmic universal scope of the power and the depth and the width of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. See, if we truly believe what we say we believe about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he was present at creation, eternally existent, that he is one with God in the Trinity, then we have to believe that his knowledge and his wisdom are beyond compare. Come on, his counsel is matchless. You can go to the most amazing counselor. This is the New York City area. We have, I'm sure, world-renowned, nationally renowned counselors, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists here in the New York area with impressive degrees from top universities. But here's what Paul is telling us, that their counsel, as good as it might be, as many degrees and accolades and certifications that they may have on the wall, it pales in comparison to the counsel that we can receive from the living Son of God, who wants to speak into our lives. And we have to get a hold of this and decide, do we really believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? Now, it's one thing to believe that God can speak into your life, maybe from kind of a cosmic perspective, right? He's the God of the universe, and Jesus is the Son of God, and he can speak into my life, and he can order and direct my life. But if we're honest, I think sometimes the challenge for us is this: how could Jesus possibly understand like what I'm feeling and going through right now? I mean, I think when we think about it, sometimes you think Jesus was the Son of God. Like, he was sinless. He was perfect. He never sinned. He never made any mistakes. Like, how is it that he could possibly relate to me? I know he's my Savior. I know he reigns over the universe. I can even believe that with God. I believe that he's even ordering the direction of my life. But if we're honest, don't we find ourselves in seasons where maybe we even have a doubt? It's a subconscious doubt. It's not even at the surface of our mind, but it lies beneath. Could Jesus really, like, really understand? How could he really understand what I'm going through in this season right now? How could he possibly understand my situation? And the writer of Hebrews actually speaks to this. In Hebrews chapter 4, he talks about Jesus, and he uses this analogy, this metaphor of Jesus being the high priest. And you know, a priest was a mediator between God and man, right? A priest, his job was to mediate the presence of God to God's people. And here's what the writer of Hebrews says. Since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. I love this scripture. I love this scripture because the writer of Hebrews says he's our high priest. He's the one who makes a way for us to go to God the Father, but he's faced the things that we face. See, Jesus, the church has believed this for 2,000 years, that Jesus was fully divine but fully human. Jesus was born of a virgin, but he was born to an actual flesh and blood mother. He lived a human life. Like, Jesus can identify with us. He's walked in our shoes. Jesus knows what it is to be tired. Jesus knows what it is to be hungry. Jesus knows what it is to experience stress, physical, mental stress. He knows loss. He knows disappointment. He had people around him that he loved who were killed. His own cousin, John the Baptist, was beheaded by King Herod. He knows abandonment. Jesus even knows what it is to suffer terrible pain, to die a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus knows brokenness. He knows despair. He knows loss. He can relate to us. He's a God who comes down and he gets down in the mess with us. But he doesn't leave us there, because here's the good news. Although he was fully human, he was fully divine. And so this gives him the unique capability to be able to understand exactly how we feel, but to transcend it. Come on, he's the God who comes down to us, but he doesn't get down in it with us and get overwhelmed by whatever's overwhelming us. He lifts us up out of it because he transcends it. He can see past it. That's who he is. He's the great high priest. He's gone through everything that you and me have gone through, that we've experienced, and he can relate to you. But he's also fully God, which means he's imminent and he's close, but he's transcendent and he's above all of the challenges and the problems and the things that we face. And so I want you to put this in your notes this morning. Jesus is our wonderful counselor because he understands how we feel, but he can see perfectly beyond it. Isn't that good news for you this morning? He's a God who can relate to what you're going through. He can relate to your humanity, to your challenges, to your times of despair and brokenness and disappointment. But he, because he's fully divine, he can see perfectly beyond it. Isn't that the kind of counselor we want? Aren't those the kind of people that we need? Isn't that the kind? When you go to a counselor, whether it be a professional counselor, a family therapist, or somebody who's going to help you with your marriage. And by the way, if you need counseling, I always say go for it. Healthy people go to counseling. Healthy people go to the gym. Healthy people go to counseling, okay? If you need it, get it. But when you go to a counselor to work through your emotions or something that's going on in your life or your relationship, whatever, you go to them because you expect that they have some perspective beyond your situation, right? Are you with me? Like, you need someone else's perspective. Oftentimes you need a professional who's trained in some strategy of counseling and psychology, whatever, who can help you see beyond your situation. It doesn't do you any good if you go to a counselor and they just get overwhelmed by your circumstances. They're like, yeah, that really does suck. I have no idea what to tell you. You'd be like, give me my money back right now. Right? If you go to a friend, a wise friend, the kind of friend you can trust, you expect that hopefully they can see something that you can't see and they can help you see past it. Are you with me? This is why we go to people for counseling. Okay, let me give you this analogy, okay? How many parents do we have in here who have a preteen or teenage daughter? Any parents, preteen or teenage daughter? Look at the hands. We're going to pray for you. Put them on the prayer list. Olivia, get their names. Put all of them on the prayer list. Okay, we're going to pick on just the girls just for fun right now, okay? Because I have boys. I need your prayers too, trust me. But all right. So if your daughter were to come to you and say, Mom, I had a terrible day at school. Like, you know, I've had a crush on Billy from the beginning of the school year, and I just found out today that he doesn't like me. He actually likes my best friend. What am I going to do? My life is over. It's ruined. I'll never have a boyfriend. No guy will ever look at me. I'm never going to get married. I'm going to die an old maid. Like, my life is over. Right? What would you say, parents? Would you say, oh, that's true. That's really bad. I have no idea what we're going to do. Oh my God. We're going to start planning your funeral right now because you're a dead duck. This is terrible. No. You would relate at first, right? Because you've been there before. You've been a teenager. How many of you are glad you survived the teenage years? And they're in your rearview mirror. Can I get an amen, somebody? See, you would have compassion, first of all, because you've been there before, but you got a little perspective, right? Like, you know what it is to live through those years of insecurity and hormonal changes and all of that stuff, and you lived through it and you survived it. So you would have some perspective to be able to say, it's okay, you're going to make it, you're going to get past this, you're going to get through this, you're going to be just fine. One day you're going to meet Prince Charming, you're going to get married and live happily ever after. It's all good. Can I just tell you this morning, Jesus comes to us and he can identify with our brokenness. He can identify with our struggles. He can identify with our emotions and our despair and all of that stuff. But aren't you thankful he doesn't get stuck in it and get overwhelmed by it, but he can see past it. He went through it for you and me to help us get through it. He's the God who comes down to humanity. He gets down on the mess and brokenness of humanity, but he's the God who lifts us up to reach heights that we could never reach on our own. That is the good news of the Christmas story. That is why we lift our voices and sing this time of year. That's why we proclaim our Savior's birth this time of year. He's the God who went through it to get you through it. And he's not beat down and overwhelmed by your circumstances. He feels for you, his heart is with you, but he's got a perspective beyond what you and me, beyond what we can see. And he's gonna grab you by the hand and say, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. You know what? I've been there before. Come on, how many of you know those are some comforting words? Every now and then when you got a problem and you go to a friend who went through something like what you went through, but they survived it, they got through it, they're healthy, they're functioning, they made it through on the other side, for them to grab your hand and say, it's okay, I've been there before, you're gonna get through this, you're gonna make it. It means a lot, doesn't it? And that's what we believe. That's what we Christians believe about the Son of God. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. So here's what I wanna do. I wanna leave you with some practical steps that we can take to access Jesus as our wonderful counselor. Because we want to put this into motion. We don't want to just come and be inspired today by who Jesus is. Yeah, it starts with that. But we want to put this into motion in our lives. So let me just leave you with two things that we can do to activate this and to access Jesus Christ as our wonderful counselor. Here's the first one. Number one, go straight to the source of wisdom. Go straight to the source of wisdom. If you're taking notes today with the app or on paper, put that in your notes. Go straight to the source of wisdom. You know what causes us a lot of problems? A lot of times we don't go straight to the source of true wisdom in our lives. And I'm talking about in prayer, first of all. Talking about in prayer, talking about God's word. We need to hear the voice of Jesus. Can I tell you that I sit down to help a lot of people work through their issues? And one of the things I tell them quite often is I find that people have way too many voices in their life. I sit down with someone and I say, you know, as your pastor, I'm happy to help you out. But I need to know one thing from you. If I'm going to get down in this with you, I need to know that I'm not just one of 20 other voices in your life. I need to know that you trust more. Number one, I'm not trying to be like the savior of the world, because I'll say, get a few people in your corner, find another believer who really loves you, that you can trust. Maybe it's your parent, if you have a godly parent, okay? I'm going to be your pastoral voice. But sometimes people are going to everybody and their mama for advice, calling 1-800-LINES, going online and chat rooms, all kind of stuff, trying to get advice. And I'm like, you're all over the place because you got way too many voices in your life, and half of them aren't even worth listening to. They're just talking a bunch of noise. You got to tune into the voice of God. Get into the word of God. Tune your ears. Start praying, seeking him. You got to go straight to the source of wisdom and prayer. Look at what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Come on, that's good news. We can go boldly. We can go straight to him as a heavenly father. We have direct access to him in prayer. Can I tell you that, let me get a little healthcare analogy here. You have direct real-time access, real-time healthcare when you need to see your father. Amen? Come on, you don't have to fill out paperwork. You don't have to sort out the copay. You don't have to give your insurance card. You don't have to figure, how many visits am I on now? Are they going to charge me more for this one? Did I spend too much time in the clinic? Are they going to charge me for an extra hour? No, you have direct access to him. It's been purchased for you already. It's paid for by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He made a way for you. When I was in the Holy Land a few weeks ago with my dad, he fell sick about the third day into the trip. And it was actually the Sabbath, the Shabbat, which in Jewish culture is a big deal. It means everything's closed, not a lot of doctors around. And we had to take him to, we were in Galilee. We had to take him to a little town called Tiberias. And you know what? I packed up my bags. I prepared for a long night. Come on, how many of us have been to the American experience of the ER before? You could die in the emergency room having an emergency, waiting to see a doctor, right? I'm bleeding to death over here. Can somebody please take me in and triage me, right? I packed my bag. I prepared for a long night. We got to this little clinic. We walked in. Nobody was there, thank God. There was a girl at the front desk. We signed something real quick. She ushered us right in to see the doctor. Doctor saw my dad, treated him right away, gave him a prescription. We were out of there in like 10 minutes. I was like, thank you, Jesus. I was so prepared to spend the whole night in some clinic or ER or something like that. We just had direct access. We just went right up in there. And that's what we have with our Father. That's what we have with our Father. We can go straight to Him, direct, real-time care to the wonderful counselor, to the one who created us, to the one who knows us from the inside out, from the one who knew your problem before you ever had a problem. God had a solution to your problem. We can go boldly to the source of wisdom, go straight to the source of wisdom in prayer. You got to prioritize this. Here's the second thing. Ask with confident faith. Everybody say confident faith. Not any kind of faith, not sissy faith, not watered down faith, but ask with confident faith. The writer of Hebrews says this, chapter 4, verse 16b. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Oh, I love this. We'll find grace to help us when we need it most. You know what I love about that scripture? It's just real. It doesn't say, and God is going to do everything that you thought He was going to do on your timetable just the way you thought He would do it and solve all of your problems. He doesn't say, and yes, you will go to God and He will appear like a genie in the bottle and grant you 3 wishes and give you the winning lottery numbers. Wouldn't that be awesome? No, no, no. There we will receive His mercy. First of all, we can go to Him knowing that He receives us by His mercy. And so many times that's the very thing keeping us from going to the Father. We have this guilt. We have this self-condemnation. We have the negative voices in our heart and our mind that tell us, how could God receive me? I got myself into this mess in the first place. But let me tell you, He's a God who receives you by His mercy. And we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. He's going to give you the grace. The scripture says, Paul says, His grace is sufficient, right, to meet all of my needs. I'm trusting He's going to work it out. I'm holding on for the answer. I'm praying for a miracle. But in the meantime, God is going to give me His grace to keep me. His grace will sustain me. His grace will hold my hand. His grace will be the compass that leads me. His grace will go before me and go behind me. He will cover me by His grace. So I can go to Him with confident faith, knowing that it's His desire as a Father to pour out His mercy and His grace over my life. That's what He wants to do for us. And He'll do something further too. Jesus said He wants to give us the gift of His Spirit. He said, you, even though you're sinful, know how to give your kids good gifts. How much more does your Father in heaven know how to give you the gift of His Spirit? You know what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in the book of John? He's our comforter. He's our counselor. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of Jesus. We're not in this by ourselves, but it's the Spirit who dwells richly on the inside of you. And when you go to your Father, when you go boldly to the throne of grace, it stirs up the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the comforter and the counselor who will guide you and will give you greater wisdom than you could get from anybody else in this world. So I want to tell you this morning, church, on this first rainy day of Advent, on this Sunday morning, Jesus wants to be your wonderful counselor. He wants to be your wonderful counselor. He understands what you're going through, what you've been through, what you're facing right now, but He can see past it. He can see past it. He's not afraid to get into it with you, but He's not going to get overwhelmed by it and let it define you, because He can see past it. He's the God who is imminent. He's close, but He's transcendent and He's over it. He's above the storm. The psalmist says that He's above the storm. The voice of the Lord is over the storm. He sees what you and me can't see. We're on ground level. All we see is the clouds. But oh, when that plane breaks through the clouds, you find out what? The sun was always shining. It was there the whole time. He's the God who can see what you and me can't see. And so by faith, we tap into His perspective. We hold on to Him. We lean into His grace. We go straightly to the source of wisdom. And we expect with confident faith that God is going to get us through it and go through it with us. Amen. Leave you with this final story in John chapter 6. Jesus has just taught a very difficult thing, and many of the disciples, the followers, begin to peel away. They begin to leave Him. And Jesus turns to Peter and the 12 and He says, are you going to leave me as well? And Peter says, where else would we go, Lord? Where else would we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? For we have come to believe that you are the Son of God. And that's our prayer this morning. Jesus, where else could we possibly go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. Oh God, there's a lot of voices out there. Oh God, I can Google anything these days. Oh God, I can buy a self-help book. God, there's so many voices. There's so much information. But God, where else can I go but to your Son, who alone has the words of eternal life? Come on, stand with me this morning. We're going to pray into this morning. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to receive communion together in just a moment. But this morning, we're going to pray into this. As we get to know our Savior better, we want to get closer to him. We want to open our hearts. Let every heart prepare him room. Every heart prepare him room to be closer to him. So 3 weeks from now, as we celebrate Christmas, we can say, Jesus, I love you better and I know you more. I was intentional. I got close to you in this season. And that starts with today. It starts with today. We're going to take some time to pray. And we're going to pray two things. First of all, I think we need to pray a prayer of repentance for the times that we've trusted in so many other voices instead of the one true voice in our lives. And here's the second thing. Today we're going to pray, and we're going to go straight to the source of wisdom, asking with confident faith for a greater revelation of Jesus as our wonderful counselor. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your spirit that we feel so alive in this place today. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that in this season you come close to us and we prepare hearts and our room for you, prepare room in our hearts for you today to be closer to you, for us to know you better, to be closer to you, to love you more, that you would fill our lives. Jesus, today we thank you that you are a wonderful counselor. Lord, today we repent and we turn from our tendency to trust in so many other voices. We choose to prioritize your voice in our lives today. We choose to believe that Jesus, you are who you say you are. The Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you that today we can trust in you. We thank you that we can go boldly to the throne of grace. God, we thank you that the promise of your word says if we ask for wisdom, you'll give it to us, God. And so today we ask you to guide us, to lead us, want to hear your voice, want to be more filled with your wisdom, want you to order our steps. Jesus, where else could we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. Speak into our hearts today. Father, you know those who are facing situations today. You know those who have big decisions to make. Stress that weighs on them, Father, even confusion. Father, this morning we cut through all of those things and we want to hear your voice clearly. Speak to our hearts, God. Cover us by your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.